Hello, everybody, and welcome to South of King's Landing, the Explosion Network's Game of Thrones after show. My name is Dylan Blight. Joining me on the show, Ashley Hobley.
Hey, Dylan. Excited to be here this week to talk about how if you can't look after a pet, shouldn't have a pet.
How if you don't, if you can't have a pet, just send it off with the first woodsman you can meet. Get rid of that pet. Or as I tweeted, if you don't boop the doggo, should you even have the doggo?
Disappointing. I think that's the moment that everybody turned on John.
Yeah. Do you notice how, do you like how I've managed to tweet Game of Thrones spoilers, but no one will know because it's such an obscure, you know, that's just a life applying tweet, really, but no one knows. But some people know, you know, it just depends on if you've watched it or not. So, yeah. So this week's episode, of course, titled The Last of the Starks. Cool title, I thought. Fitting title for the thing and everything that's going on. I liked it. Written by Dave Benioff and D.B. Wise. Directed by... I forgot to write down the director's name. Lol. What's his name? David? No. I don't know. The guy who did episode 2 and 1. I'm sorry. Rip. Accidents happen. I'm very, very sorry. Nonetheless, this week on the show, we get to quickly...
David Nutter.
Thank you, David Nutter. This week on the episode, we get to quickly move the story along as there is only 2 episodes left to get Dany, potentially the Mad Queen, into place to burn down King's Landing and by next episode. And Jon gets his friend spread the news of his lineage this episode, which then spreads to Tyrion, which then spreads to Varys, which then spreads to everyone else.
So maybe everybody else, yeah.
So, and it was a bit of a half episode. We got a bit of half of a cool down, bit more just chit chat, and then a bit of action as well. So, what did you think of this week's episode?
I mean, it was a very fitting episode. Like, it made sense that they had this episode sort of as a calm between 2 big battles, you'd assume.
Was it a calm? It was like half a calm.
But it was a down moment.
Yeah.
You know, they celebrated a little bit.
Yeah.
After opening with mourning and stuff. So, yeah, I thought it was a good episode overall. But, I mean, not when I think back on it, not a lot happened. But then it didn't need to. I guess there was just character moments and character movement and Tyrion and Daenerys talking for a long time, which was very good.
I liked some of what happened this episode. I disliked a fair bit of what happened this episode. And then also, I just feel like this is, to me, this is the worst episode of the season very easily. I felt like it was just very poorly paced and it really showed the seams of the race to the finish line, if you know what I mean. Like, out of all the episodes so far, this one was very much like, for example, and of course we'll, as per usual, start boiling down these things a bit more in a minute, but like the part where John tells his lineage to Sansa and that, and the fact they cut away from that and just cut to Sansa telling Tyrion and all these things, these are things, if we had seasons more, we would have had time to see that boil within her and like what happens upon that, and you know, like time for that character building.
We'll see her reaction.
Just anything. But it's such a race to the finish line. Then even like things that kind of make me sad that it is the last season was like Arya and Hound heading off, and I'm like, you know, back in the day, that would have been another 4 or 5 episodes of what mischief did those two characters get up to on the road there. But we know we're not going to get any of that.
No,
they're just going to magically appear there. Yeah, they're going to fast travel there like the last 2 seasons. So yeah, this episode was a lot of like fast pace, like gotta get there fast, quick, lots of things happening, blah blah blah. And yeah, some of the things I liked happening was like, yeah, a bit more of a political episode that we've had so far this season. A lot more of the of course Tyrion and Varys having these discussions about the throne and these sort of things, they were highly enjoyable. And then I think the thing that kind of annoyed me the most was the ending. I was just like, really? That's the way we're gonna go about it? I feel it's kind of shitty use of Missandei to use her as, and also not only the fact that she's like one of however many people of color that have actually been on this show, and then a handful of of people being on the show, and as I was watching it live, I think the first thing it's like, I was like, great, they're gonna kill like the only person of color left on the show while she's in chains and then chuck off the edge. I'm like, fuck. Yeah. Like, and I wrote and deleted a tweet following the episode, which was because I was like, oh, maybe this is a bit too on the nose, like spoiler territory or just like whatever, piss people off. And I'm like, I'm not in the mood for it at the moment. But it was something along the lines of, as much as I want Macy Williams to go over and do a Star Wars, like do the Benioff and Weiss Star Wars movie, I would only be down for it if the Benioff and Weiss Star Wars movie was going to have a more varied and diverse writing room for whatever that project is going to be, you know, because I was just like, wow, I swear if anyone else had been there and be like, hey guys, do you understand what this looks like when you're doing this? Like, you know, and there are many other things. And there was another thing that I thought was kind of shitty writing and making bad use of female character was the whole Santa thing where she does the whole, you know, it's if it wasn't for me being raped and all like all these sorts of things, I wouldn't be the person I am today. I'm like, if there would been a woman in that room, she probably would have been like, like, you know, just put the to put the hand up a little bit.
Yeah,
we'll
talk about that when we get to it.
Yeah, I just thought there were several pieces of bad writing for me, full stop, in this episode. But then there was also good writing, which was like the Varys and the Tyrion conversations and these sorts of things. But then that kind of just shows where they do well as writers and where they do bad as writers, and it's just kind of really showing. And then lots of fucking fast travel as well. It was an alright episode. It definitely, I just feel like this is probably gonna end up on the bottom of my list. If I'm presuming the fight next week is as eventful as last week's, which I'm sure it will be somewhat action-packed episode. Yep. And then the finale is gonna be a good, if not diversive episode, depending on if you like how it ends either way. So I already feel like this is gonna be my most disliked episode of the season. All right, though. So let's get into the episode itself then. So following last week's episode, we do get some respite and well-deserved rest, which made sense, I thought.
Do we, though?
Well, I mean, they're all drinking and whatever.
They get
else
one night off.
Yeah,
well, and Danny's like, fuck you all, we're going to go straight.
Yeah, not character-wise, I suppose us as the viewer rest. Yeah. Like, we don't go straight into more action. Us as viewers do get a bit of a break at least. But yeah, no, they don't get as long as they need, that's for sure. Yeah. But we do see this opening scene, which is them mourning their losses, primarily Danny and Fedora, and then Sansa for Theon, which there was also a nice touch with Sansa there, who gives Theon a Stark pin like on his body. So that was kind of a touching good moment, I thought, finally giving him he's the Stark, I guess. Then John gives this really big king speech. Now, I never thought anything of it, but have you seen all the people online who are saying like his voice has changed?
His voice is weird. It could just be he had a cold that day.
Yeah.
maybe. Like, seriously, people don't think of that, but maybe like, what's his name who plays him, but like was sick, and that's why it sounded that way.
I mean, yeah, it's possible, I suppose. Yeah, I honestly. Or
someone screwed up on the audio team. There have been gaps in this episode. I don't know if you saw the
big
other
thing,
one.
There was a big thing screwed up in this episode, but it wasn't the audio. So he gives a big speech, and it was a good speech, a very kingly speech. If he purposely changed his voice, people are theorizing that like it was an acting or directing choice or whatever, to have him sound a lot more regal, I guess, to kind of set up what a lot of the storyline for this episode is, which is Danny feeling threatened by John and these sorts of things. So if it was an acting and directing choice, then it works, I suppose. But I just thought it was a good speech. I didn't notice his tone of voice particularly changing at all there.
He'd sound a little bit deeper, but that was...
He was just screaming at White Walkers and
whites. Yeah, you're screaming, you're shouting at this dragon that's about to kill you, you throw out your voice.
That's why he threw out his voice with the last scream at that dragon. Yeah, that's funny. Then they light up all the... I don't really know what you call these things. Pyres, bonfires.
Pyres,
things,
yeah, I think.
I guess, yeah. Some sort of thing like
of,
that.
Lot of pyres.
Lots and lots of
pyres. They stacked them up.
Quite well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Leave the best on top, though.
I guess.
Yeah, I suppose that's how it works. So following this scene, we do go to this banquet scene, which, as I was saying before, is a hefty part of the episode, I'd say. Quite a long part of the episode. So they're in there and their celebrations are happening, much drinking.
Danny, no, there wasn't. It was super quiet at the start.
Oh, at the start. You're right. Yeah, at the start, it was very awkward and stuff because everyone didn't know. I suppose it's because, like, if you're, like, Danny's not up there like, hey, everyone, have a good time, drink him, and these sorts of things. So it's not until that tiebreaker, you know, the breaker, icebreaker moment where people are like, oh, it's okay to celebrate somewhat, because up until then it's kind of a very dour scene that's happening. But Gendry gets up at one point to go look for Arya.
Find Arya.
And then...
the Hound knows what's going on.
Yeah, he knows what's going on. Then Danny calls him out and it's like, you're the son of... Brathy and, you know, all these sorts of things, and
John ends up can't keep a secret.
No, well, I don't know if, I don't know if he told her, who would know, even tells her, but then she ends up making him Lord of what the fuck,
Storm's End,
thank you, Lord of Storm's End. So that's Gendry, and he's like, no, I can't be because I'm a bastard and all these sorts of things. So, and then I feel like she's doing it to half win favors, half
absolutely
like have him on his. Have him on her side, but also just kind of get everyone there. Like, look what she did for Gendry. Like, you know, she's good. Like, she's trying to earn respect and favor from the Northmen. That's for sure. Because then, following that, she's like, you know, in three cheers for Arya, the one who killed the Night King, the hero of Winterfell, or whatever she says. So she's definitely trying to icebreakers here and get everyone to kind of be on her side a bit more. Gendry then heads out and he finds Arya, who's out shooting arrows, and tells her the news of what's up. And then
her form of celebration, apparently. Yes.
Well, you know, it makes sense for a character, I feel. I couldn't imagine Arya, the character that we now know, sitting in there just being like, cheers, everyone. I'm going to get drunk. Blah, blah, blah. You know, she had her one night off where she got with Gendry. That was her one, like, break of giving herself something, you know, like, I'm going to do something for myself. But she's you know, she's an assassin now. She's not in her lifestyle, I don't think, to get drunk and party and these sorts of things.
I guess not. She's focused on the next thing. So
yeah, well, the mission's not over. She knows that, you know, there's one battle won. It's not over and done for, though. Like,
it's
she
a big
knows.
Battle, though.
It is a big battle, but she knows that's not over. She knows that there's more to come. Mm. So Gendry gets down and asks her to marry her, which, I mean, awkward scene.
You knew it was going to go bad.
You knew it was going to go bad, so it was a very awkward scene to watch happening, because you know he's going to get turned down. And she does turn him down and says, any lady would be lucky to have you, but I'm not a lady and I never have been. So it made sense for the characters. I was just like, oh, Gendry, dude. Like, have you been paying attention? Arya's not that girl. You know? Like, come on, dude. So then I presume he goes and wanks off for the night and as that be it.
I know, maybe he goes, does Tormund. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. Back in the hole, Tyrion and Davos are discussing the Lord of Light and how he's fucked off now. I thought it was like kind of a throwaway thing, but then after the episode, it was like a bit more of a kind of a line wrapping up that storyline somewhat, because obviously Lord of Light's been important throughout the whole season somewhat, but then it's like, oh, the Lord of Light was only ever interested in the Great War, or what he, you know, the war of the elements, really, the war of the magical,
war against the dead.
Yeah, the war against the dead. But, you know, Lord of the Light has no fucks given to the squabbling of all these people, because it doesn't bother him or affect him. So that's kind of how I guess I took that. Tyrion tries to speak to Bran, then Bran's all weird again. I mean, it's just a continuing thing. Every episode is that Bran's weird.
I thought
Bran
was pretty good this episode, actually. Like, his creepy level was way down.
It was way down, but it's still the first thing we see. He's like, I got this chair. It's a fucking wicked chair. It was built from this design, you know, 1,000 years old. Fucking sick wheelchair, mate, Tyrion. Like,
Tyrion asked.
Yeah, Tyrion's like, yeah, okay, cool. Do a burnout. Then Bran takes off at this point, and then Tormund starts talking up John's ass, basically, and also trying to get him really drunk at this point. And while this is all happening, Tyrion is over drinking with Jaime, Pod, and Brianna, and they're playing, I guess, a version of Truth or Dare without the dare. So it was like a game of truth.
Never Have I Ever.
Never Have I Ever. Yeah, whatever. Variation of that.
Some variation of that. Pretty much where you just ask questions about them.
Yeah.
And if it's yes, they drink. If it's no,
yeah,
they don't drink. Yeah.
Yes, something like that. Yes, some form of that thing. And then they're playing it for a bit, and everyone's, even Brienne's taking part, and then Tyrion kind of ruins the whole game by calling it and basically calling Brienne a virgin, which I was like, it's a bit mean. Don't know why he had to go there.
Yeah, that seems an unnecessary step. Yeah. You know, you're having a good time.
Kind of ruins it all. I mean, I feel like he brought it up because he thought he was doing something to help his brother be a good wingman, I guess, but not really.
And he was, apparently.
I mean, yeah, it turns out well, but yeah, nonetheless. But she gets off and she takes off. Jamie soon follows after her. And then at this point, Tormund is also finally realizing what's up between Jamie and her, and Tormund's a bit upset about what's happening. I like my favorite part that made me actually laugh out loud is as they're all kind of getting up, and Jamie's taking off after Brienne, and Tyrion's getting up to leave the table, and like Tormund's standing there heartbroken at this point, realizing what's happening. Tyrion just pours the rest of his drink into Tormund's drink and just walks off.
Yep.
That was quite funny. Jamie, of course, finds Brienne in her bedchambers, or whatever they call it, bedroom in this olden day times, and they end up having sexy times.
Which I've seen very, very hot in there.
They're very, very hot in there. Yeah, to get taking clothes off and all sorts of things.
Yeah.
Which I've seen people on Twitter be like, that's fan service. And I'm like, it's not fan service if they've been building that relationship for like fucking five seasons or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, I don't feel like it was fan service. I feel like they got there in the show's own terms. And like, there's a difference between fan service and just like fans thinking something's going to go some way, and it so happens that the show like happens to go there as well, you know. So like, just because people were shipping the characters doesn't mean it's fan service if it was already being teased planned. And people were shipping them because they were teasing it throughout the seasons, of course, like they had feelings. And
yeah
that was good. Like the kind of gets ruined shortly after further in the episode, but it was good for now. And while all this is happening up around her, we have this good scene where Danny's like looking over, seeing it, you know, Tyrion and all these people drinking, talking, whatever. She looks over, she sees Tormund fucking trying to get John drunk and talking up how he's so cool for riding dragons and, you know, all these sorts of things. And then the way they shoot it, because they cut it together. You can very, very much tell that Danny's like, everyone's, who do I trust? Who's out? You know, like, John's going to fuck me over. Like, Tyrion's going to fuck me over. You know, these sorts of things very much playing into that, I felt. Hmm. And then she gets up and she leaves the room with Varys in tow behind her. But yeah, this is the first of many parts throughout this episode where it's like this. And there's another thing. It may work for some people. For me personally, it feels very rushed. This episode very much rushes to get her to Mad Queen level, whereas I feel like it's
a little bit
like they've been slowly like teasing elements of it prior to this, but this episode's like, and we're there. She's the Mad Queen now. You know, like they're like, look how conspiracy theory she is about everyone in the room and all these sorts of things.
Yeah,
and they really want to get her to that stage. And although I like the way they shot it,
but I was kind of convinced they were going to get her to start hearing voices or something, like halfway through that scene there was just one shot where they sort of like panned on her. I thought like either she's going to start seeing shit or
John like, wants she's going the to start throne. Hearing voices. No, he doesn't. John wants to take the phone from you. No.
Yep.
He's going full fucking golem or some shit. So she gets up. Tormund then tries to talk his woes and love life with the Hound. Man,
Tormund looks so upset.
Yeah, he's like sitting there. He's like, I can't breathe. He came all the way from the south and he fucks me over. And the Hound's just like, I don't fucking care. Like, fuck off. And then all these girls come over and they're like, hey, I like wildlings. And the Tormund's like, oh yeah. Okay. How you going? And then the Hound, of course, turns them all down. It's like, fuck off. Don't want nothing to do with you. And then Sansa sees what's going on and she ends up coming over and having this weird conversation I said I didn't like, which is the Hound's like, they have a bit of a back and forth, and Sansa's like, what would make you happy? And he's like, there's only one thing that could make me happy, which I believe is them teasing next episode. We're getting Clegane Bowl finally, because that's where he's heading. Yeah.
Has to be.
Yeah. Because he's like, there's only one thing, and that's where he gets up the head off by himself in the morning is King's Landing. So Clegane Bowl still officially on.
1 week away.
Then he has continues back and forth with Sansa a bit and says, you know, none of this would have happened if you just left King's Landing with me back in the day. There would be no Littlefinger. There would be no whatever, or Joffrey, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then she's like, yeah, but, you know, if there wasn't all those people, I would no longer be the little bird or whatever.
I'd still be that little bird.
Yeah, it was some variation of that line, which, as I was saying before, I didn't particularly like because she's basically doing
the sentiment that they were going for was good, like that you wouldn't want to change the person that you are now, that you think you're obviously you've gone all through that and you're a better person than, and the person who you could have been is probably not the person you are now, and you can appreciate where you are at this point in time in your life. They just probably worded it not greatly.
I get what they're trying to say, which is, as you're saying, like, she's happy with the person. Like, she's like, I'm much stronger and a better person. I like the person I am today and all these sorts of things. But she's like, yeah, you know. But when she said the line, my first thought was, yeah, she's just like, yeah, if I hadn't have been, you know, kidnapped.
Sansa is just an Ariana Grande fan, you know. Thank you for my ex.
Oh, my God. I think it's a bit different when your exes are all murderous, fucking rapist, horrible.
You know, they taught her, one taught her pain. One taught her pain.
Oh, my fucking God. We're the only Game of Thrones podcast that has brought up Ariana Grande on this episode. I can guarantee that. I can fucking guarantee that. that's the Sansa thing. I mean, it's a thing. You either go one way or another, and I'm going to say most people don't fucking care. But moving on. So the next morning, later that night, Danny comes into John's room and starts discussing this. She comes in, and they start discussing Jorah for a bit, and then he's like, yeah, you know, he loved me, blah, 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 blah. And she's like, but I couldn't love him.
At least she admitted it.
Yeah.
That he loved her and she didn't love him back in the same way.
Not the way that I love you, John. Not the way that I love you.
No, so he was definitely in the friend zone.
Not the way I love you, Johnny. They begin making out for a bit, but then John pulls away. Then she begins basically asking him to swear to secrecy about his lineage, but he says he has to tell his sisters at least. And then she's like, no, you can't tell anyone.
Sansa totally like giving a stink eye.
Yeah, she's the banquet. All through the banquet, and he's like, no, she won't like it, blah, 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 blah. And he's like, but you're my queen. I don't want the throne. I need to tell them their family. And she's like, no, you can't, because it doesn't matter even if you don't want the throne. Like, it'll still start turning people on me, basically, and like people want you. Like, she's basically saying, even if you don't want the throne, if people know that you just like, in this world's rules,
you know, because that is John's thing. He doesn't want stuff, and he keeps getting given it.
He doesn't know anything. He doesn't want anything, and he just come back alive.
Moving up, getting pushed up.
Yeah,
you know.
But then, he says, "No, I got to tell my sisters." And then Danny puts on a real serious, angry face and basically leaves the room with him to
storms out. Yeah,
to think about what he's got to do. The next morning, or day, whenever it's taking place, we learned that they didn't suffer as big a losses as we had assumed the previous episode. Because we thought last episode that they pretty much lost all of the Dothraki army, pretty much all of the Unsullied. Whatever else was left was probably just the Northerners or something. But the way they shot it seemed like the Unsullied were all basically fodder. The Dothraki base all charged off, and like 10 soldiers managed to come back the way they shot that episode. Yeah. But now they're like, yeah, we got like half the Dothraki left. We got like half the Unsullied left. And I'm like, do you though? Like, do you?
You don't know how many pieces they took off before the camera came on.
Yeah, I know. It's just it's not going to keep me up at night thinking about it. But it was just one of those things where they said, I think the biggest thing was, once they took away all the soldiers and people they lost from the battle, when they're like, so now we're on par with Cersei's army. I'm like, fuck. Like, that was the biggest, because I personally felt like their losses the previous episode were a lot bigger. That they're like, we're now on par with Cersei, and she has the Golden Company as well. But that makes both sides even now, apparently, with her having the Golden Company and us losing this many people. I'm like, fucking, I didn't see that many people, but whatever. You know, it's just one of those things.
They were on the other side of Winterfell.
Yeah, maybe. You
know, in case they came around the other side, so.
Yeah. It's one of those things. It's fun. It's much like, you know, Star Wars Episode 5. It's like, you only ever see like 20 people at the Battle of Hoth at the start, and then they're like, yeah, but there was way more. there was way more. There was outside the camera angles. Yeah, there was a lot more going on. You just couldn't tell. So then Dany basically says that she wants to move on Cersei's army ASAP, but Sansa starts saying, you know, people want to rest. We just had a massive battle where we pretty much all nearly lost if it wasn't for my fucking sister, eh, mate? And, you know, people want to chill out. And then Danny's like, well, how long for? And Sansa says, I'll have to check with the captains or whatever. And then Danny's like, well, I came up here to help you, blah, 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 blah. But now you're going to turn your back on me. And then John kind of cools the situation. He's like, no, you'll get what's promised. We're going to help you. No worry about it and all these sorts of things. But every time Danny brings up this thing, I'm like, what are you on about? Like,
they're being reasonable. I'm like, you don't want to go into a war with a half.
Yeah. I'm like,
stuff, tired army.
A, exactly what you just said. Just let them fucking rest. Calm down. Like, do you want to win or not? And then also B, what do you mean? She always makes it like she's doing everyone a big favor, but like, if she went to King's Landing by herself and lost, or what, say she won there, right? And then up here, the dead walk through and they take over everyone, and then they come through and wipe out her, then who would have been the fucking idiot? You know, like, I feel like the battle she fought wasn't really helping anyone out. I think it was like helping her out as well. It was necessary. It wasn't a favor to anyone. So I was like, fucking hell, Danny. Danny takes off at this point, and then when John is about to go off and leave, Arya gets in his way and says that we need to have a bit of a family meeting. Let's all spend the next 10 to 15 minutes in silence as we walk down to the Weirwood tree for this conversation.
Yep. Because that is the only fitting place to have this conversation.
It's the only place they can have a conversation. I just really like to picture
that.
Well,
I guess... Is it might be a privacy thing? Are there in the Weirwood?
No, anyone can go there, I'm pretty sure. But I just like to think it is a privacy thing. And also they've set up this cool location this season. Also, they just keep using over and over.
Bran is really
over
fond
over
of that tree, and you know, they want to cater to Bran.
Yeah, Bran's like, this tree is fucking good. I'm going to go now.
Yeah.
So they wander down there in silence or ask about the weather and these sorts of things. And then when they get there, the sisters are basically telling John that he needs to, you know, get off Danny's tits, basically, and take a bigger look at the situation. Yeah,
stop taking that whip.
Yeah. Take a bigger look at the situation and see what's going on. And he's like, yeah, blah, blah, blah. And they're saying, you know, your family, John, your brother. They're using the word family, brother quite a lot, which is called, of course, every time they say, he's like, oh, winces a bit. Ooh. He's just like, oh, but
John,
we're not.
And Bran sharing,
but then at the same time, they're cousins, aren't they? Well, they would be.
Yeah.
Like, they're still family.
He's technically half Stark.
Yeah, but they're still, it's not, he's like, all family.
They're still related.
But I'm not your family. I'm like, yeah, but you are related. There's no, like, it doesn't suddenly just make
cousins.
You not related.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, because it was Ned's sister.
Yeah.
So
they just gave Theon a freaking pin, and like, he's part of the family. So I'm sure you, who was also raised with them for your whole entire life, are part of the family.
Yes.
God. So it's not just about blood people.
Yes. That's the message of this show. It's most definitely not just about blood people. And then after all that, John swears them both to secrecy. It's like, Arya, swear to keep a secret. She's like, yes. Santa, swear to keep it a secret. She's like, yes, we all know she's not going to.
Yes. We all know she had her fingers crossed behind her back.
Yes, 100%. And then he's like, okay, good. Now that you've all sworn at secrecy, Bran, tell them what's up. we don't get to see what happens, which I find was probably one of the, if not the most disappointing cut scene.
I don't understand why, but I would have liked to have seen that scene.
I feel like it's only cut because, as I said, they're racing to the finish line, and they're like, "Well, the best way to get there is we'll cut here, and then next time you see Sansa, she'll be."
But you know the information.
Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, I know.
The reaction is just for us.
Yeah, but I would have liked to have seen their reaction because they're main characters, you know, and I would have just liked to have seen it, but nonetheless. So then we get this scene where Bronn. This is the stupidest scene in the episode, as far as I'm concerned. Bronn sneaks in as Jaime and Tyrion are drinking in a bar or somewhere or whatever's happening. And he comes in and is basically like, I'm part of this show. Remember, I got the fucking crossbow. I was going to kill yous. And Tyrion's like, I'll give you high water as long as we win the battle. And he's like, cool, no, high guard, whatever. He's like, yeah, cool story. And then he walks out. I'm like, what a nonsense waste of fucking 5 minutes this was. No one fucking cares about you, Bronn. No one cares about your fucking story. None of this is important.
Bronn is a great character.
We haven't
seen him for 3 episodes.
He has been a great
brooding over this decision.
Waste of a scene. Absolutely waste. Worst scene in the whole episode.
Not if Bronn does something in the next 2 episodes, you know?
All right. That's the only way. If he shows up and does something relevant at the fight and decides to turn, but the way he leaves it, because Tyrion's like, do you want to come fight for us? And he's like, no, my fighting days are over. And then he fucks
off. That's what he always says.
Yeah, we'll fucking see. We'll fucking see. If he doesn't, this entire scene was useless. If the next time he turns up to episode 6, just walking up to Tyrion and being like, hey, whoever's king or queen now or whatever the fuck's going on, give me high water or I don't know. Like if
I don't know.
Just waste.
Like it looks like they're losing and he decides to shoot one of them. Because then he's guaranteed that Cersei will give him stuff.
I guess, yeah. But the best... I saw on Twitter someone for this scene just put that Simpsons gif, you know, of the grandpa where he walks in the door, puts his hat on the thing, turns around, picks the hat back up, puts it on and walks out the door. You know that gif that everyone...
Yeah.
That everyone uses? It's like Bronn this episode. I was like, what a fucking waste of a scene. Absolutely nonsense.
It was great. It was hilarious. You know, he needed to collect that last paycheck.
Get out of here, Bronn. No, I don't care. I don't care. So then we go to the next morning and everyone begins heading off on their journeys. The Hound leaves alone, but then bumps into Arya and they have a conversation about, he's like, hey, I'm going to King's Landing and I don't have a plan to come back. And she's like, funny, because I'm going to King's Landing. I don't have a plan to come back. So now they head off on a mini series that I'd like, which is called Hound and Arya make their way across winter to King's Landing. But I'm not going to get it, which is quite disappointing, but that's where
there's always fanfic.
Yeah. Also, it's worth noting that Arya is so fucking quiet, even her horse makes no noise. Because she sneaks up on the Hound. So then John also...
I don't think the Hound's great at hearing, maybe. To be fair.
He's got half an ear burnt off or whatever, so probably.
Yeah.
John says goodbye to Tormund, who says that he's taking his people, the Free Folk, back to their home. What's he call it? He calls it North, right? Yeah, North.
The North.
Yeah, it gets confused. Real North. Yeah, the real North. He says he's taken him back then. John tells him to take Ghost because Ghost deserves somewhere better, blah, 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 blah.
To be fair, Ghost deserves somewhere better.
Oh, that's
John.
100% true. He does deserve somewhere better, but also, John is proven many times in this episode to be a real piece of shit. And the biggest piece of shit moment for John in this entire TV series so far, and we're in the final season, is the moment where he looks over at Ghost and goes, I remember when I got you in season 1, episode 1, and he doesn't give him pat, not even a pat, not a single pat.
That's all you need to do. Ghost, I'm going to miss you. Pat, pat.
That's it. But just walks off. That's
all you need to do.
That's all he needed to do to keep people happy, but he couldn't even manage to.
No, you just looked at Ghost and then you walked away and the dog doesn't know what's happening.
Yeah.
You know, it Ghost comes over at the end, has a look over as you're walking away. He's like, what the fuck?
Yeah, then Tormund comes over and Ghost looks up.
Do you know what just happened? I lost my freaking ear fighting for you, John. For you.
For Roo. He's like, now I have to live with this fucking giant titty milk drinking motherfucker. What are you doing to me, John?
How hard it is to be changing sizes every episode. It's so weird.
It's so weird, yeah. I grow and shrink. I am a dog. Then as he goes to leave, he then talks to Sam and Gilly. Gilly is now pregnant as well, which is a whole... It was quite a funny scene where Sam begins explaining how she got pregnant, and then Gilly is like, I'm sure John understands how it happens. But they say goodbye.
I'm surprised she's so, I guess, so far along. That John could tell just by hugging her?
I don't think it's whatever. She didn't look pregnant, but he must have felt some little bump under there or something, I guess.
I guess it would have been funny if she wasn't.
It would have been real funny, yeah. That's how he says goodbye. You're pregnant. No. No. Awkward. All right, bye.
Someone's stress eating in the crypt.
Yeah, stress eating in the crypt. Yeah, deservingly so, I think, too. He says goodbye and these sorts of things. They say they're going to name their baby John if it's a boy, and he says, I hope it's not a boy. And he takes off, and he's both Danny and him are leaving to go to Dragonstone, but on different routes. So John is taking the high road with half. It was like half of the army, I guess.
It was like most of the northerners, that sort of thing.
Yeah, he's leading a horse and carriage. Yeah.
I guess the Dothraki, they don't want to be on boats.
Yeah, and the Dothraki, they wouldn't. Yeah, that's true. Even though they got over it once, but come on. And then we get Dany, who's taking off on her dragons now, and she's heading off. She's heading off and leading the boats that they brought over with the X amount of whatever army, I guess. Like, they're taking a couple of boats. From what I understood was that John has the majority of the army, I guess, and then Danny's just taking
part of the army to secure Whitestone, Dragonstone.
Yeah, like, they're just, she seems to be taking the small amount of whatever, and the dragons. So she takes off, and then we get Sansa, who's looking over, and
before they go.
Yes. Well, she's flying at this point. Well, one of the dragons is. They're making
she's taken off.
Yeah, she's taken off and these sorts of things, and Sansa's watching it all happen. And then Tyrion comes up and begins talking to her, because Sansa looks visually distraught, really. You know, Tyrion can tell that something is bothering her quite a lot. And he presumes it's about Dany, which is kind of half true, I guess, to a point. And he starts saying, you know, you just got to learn to get along. Why is it so bad? You'll get to rule up here, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, these sorts of things. And then he goes to turn to leave. And then as he does, Sansa then turns around and says, what if there's someone else? Dun, dun, dun. Which then they leave as a slight cliffhanger a little bit. But then we go to the boats just after this. And while Tyrion's on the boat with Varys, there are in there talking about what's happening, and straight away it's very obvious that obviously Sansa told Tyrion about John's lineage and these things. So
he told Varys, like, as soon as
pretty much, which was one of the funniest lines in the whole episode. This whole, he's like, who, Varys goes, who else knows? Tyrion's like, well, you, me, blah, 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 blah. So about eight people. And then Varys goes, well, it's not
a secret anymore.
It's not a secret anymore. It's information. Which was quite funny. So then they have a talk back and forth about how basically more people are going to like John. John is the more liked one. This is bad for Dany, which Dany obviously knows. And then Tyrion says that they should just hurry up and marry them. And Varys is like, you can't do that. They're related. And he's like, well, she's his aunt. Like, it's not close enough. We've had worse things happen.
It was interesting,
like,
watching the inside Dragon Game of Thrones afterwards, where the creators pretty much said, you know, the Targaryens were like super into like marrying their relatives to keep the bloodline strong in that.
So it makes sense.
That's why Dany hasn't really brought it up or is concerned about that at all.
Maybe.
Whereas John, you know, he was the one who pulled away.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, no, I can't do it anymore. We're related. It's a bit too much for me. Yeah, so they're having a big conversation and teasing what's to come from Varys in a little bit. At this stage, though, Varys is just a bit like, this is a problem, but he's still on board team, hashtag team Dany at this stage. It's not until later in the episode, of course.
Yeah. I don't know if it's here or later, but one of my favorite lines from the show is they're talking about how, because he's a man, he's better, more presentable to
lords
and stuff.
Yeah, that's in the second conversation. Yeah. Nonetheless, good line. So good then line.
Cocks are important on Freya.
Apparently, yes. So then out of nowhere above, as Dany's riding on her dragon, and also just so everyone knows, I've officially given up on ever trying to remember the dragon's names or
Drogon and
dead one.
Rhaegar.
Whatever. Yeah. There's only one left.
That dragon's named after Jon's father.
All right, and he died just like Jon's father. So out of nowhere, a spear comes, hits a dragon, another spear comes, hits a dragon. A very shocking moment, you know. It's just like everyone's having a conversation. Next second, fucking dragon's going
bam. Down.
Dragons hitting the water.
These mythical dragons, there's only three that have lasted all this time, dead.
Dead. Number one second. Dan. Which, remember last episode where I was like, everyone, yeah, it must have been last episode where I was talking about how everyone's like, oh, what's fucking Cersei going to do, blah, 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 blah. And I brought up these fucking catapult things or whatever.
Yeah, scorpions.
Things they were building. And everyone was like, what's she going to do? Well, guess what? It just killed a fucking dragon.
She's got a lot of them.
Yeah, she got one on every boat, on the top of every wall at King's Landing later.
Wall, yeah.
Yeah, so she built a fuck ton of them. But then they bring these things up like two seasons ago or something like that now?
Yeah,
seems like
they used it at the fight. They had it. What's it called with Jamie?
Yeah, but there was only one, right?
Yeah, there was only one. It was a test one.
Yeah, and since then,
it still did pretty good damage.
Yeah, now they built a fuck ton of them.
You know, they did a couple of upgrades and then dead dragon.
Yeah, another dead dragon. So yeah, it goes down and then it's revealed to us that Euron's off in the distance with a bunch of boats. Dany begins charging at the boats out of anger, of course, at first. But then as a bunch of shots start coming flying towards her, she turns and runs with to keep her last remaining dragon alive. Probably the smarter choice, I guess, at this stage. But then the boats start getting shot the fuck up by the one Tyrion's on. I like this one shot they had too. It was quite a good sequence, I thought, with Tyrion like running along and like shit's exploding around him, and then the camera like kind of follows him until he jumps into the water. I thought that was a good little action sequence they had there. So then everyone jumps off. Well, presumably everyone, mostly everyone, jumps off and washes up on shore to Dragonstone. They must have been fucking close, I guess. I wasn't really paying too much attention to see if you could see the island off in the distance or something, but they presumably was close enough. Missandei is taken, though, by Euron. I guess he either finds her like in the water, or she can't swim. And she stayed on the boat? Like, was that ever accounted for? Because she's
just Grey Worm lost her in the wreckage, I guess.
Yeah.
I guess she was underneath, inside the down the bottom or something. Yeah. Or well, she told her to go somewhere.
Grey Worm's like, get into the whatever. Yeah. And then I guess she stays there. Until Euron rocks up on the boat, I guess. And then takes her. So, yeah. But once again, lots of fast travel nonsense happening here that's absolutely fucking ridiculous.
Those boats had motors.
Well, the other thing that fucking annoys me is I understand because Varys is like the Golden Army's now in King's Landing. Gold Company, sorry. I'm willing to... What did I say?
Army. Pretty close.
Whatever. I'm willing to be okay that he knows about that, because from season one we know he has his spies, his little things, you know, that's the character is. However, I'm not willing to buy that there is a spy in the northern regions that fed information that Dany and her ships are leaving to the King's down to King's Landing.
Surely
and then those ships got out there. I don't buy that.
I'm sure word got out that they won the war and they were going to come back, and you know, they were just staking out
Dragonstone. Who up there would let that information slip? Because in my eye...
Bunch of drunk people, yay! We killed the undead!
But to who?
Just random people.
Just random people?
Word spreads fast. I'm sure there's some sort of Lannister supporter up there.
That's what I honestly don't believe there is, because we know the Northerners are so...
Like, just at the border.
And I find it hard to believe that information could slip. It just seemed like fucking hard coincidence that they managed to be there. I just don't.
And maybe they were sending a message to somebody else and it got intercepted. Yo, we killed the Night King. World is saved. Let's go fuck up Cersei.
Yeah, I'm sure that's so. But then, even then, it's like the way this whole sequence was cut really fucking pissed me off. Like this is very fast travel-y nonsense happening. Like he's there, he takes down the dragon, then disappear, and then all of a sudden he's back by Cersei's side. And it's very it kind of took me aback about how fast, you know, because we don't get a battle or anything. He's on the ship, he fires. They start running away from ships.
It was funny. It called back to season one with Tyrion, where he gets knocked out.
Oh, yes. And
then the battle goes.
We miss what's happening. Yeah. But they don't have a battle. Like, everyone just jumps off and abandons, is what I understand.
No, they did. It was just one sided.
Like, well, either way. But then, you know, just the way it was cut, it was like boom, boom, Euron's back by side, blah, blah, blah. It was too fast for me. It just took me back a bit. But nonetheless, so Euron's back at King's Landing. But by the way, another thing for this show, I kind of wish that Euron had died in this episode, because now they're going to make him out to be this big kill for next week, right?
Yeah.
Some cool moment where they kill Euron. Who kills Euron? I don't really fucking care. Euron's a shit character.
Grey Worm.
I guess, yeah, that would make sense. But Euron's a shit character, and they're making out him to be interesting. When spoilers, Euron is not interesting. He's one of the least interesting characters in the entire fucking show.
I think it hasn't been helped by the fact we haven't seen much of King's Landing.
Yeah, because he got introduced like...
This season. Last season.
No, last season.
Season six. Well,
season before that, the last couple episodes or something like that.
Yeah, and when he claimed the Iron Throne for himself, yeah.
Yeah, and that, like the most he's done is do that, right? And from no, day...
He's been messing up. He messed up a fair few people in season seven. But you weren't a fan of season seven, so it makes sense that you wouldn't remember.
No, I remember what he did. I remember what he was doing. Oh, yeah, fucking pretend to take off, get gold company. I want to fuck Cersei, blah, 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 blah. Oh, I've got
But he took out all the Dawn people as well.
You know, it's just such a boring character. He's just a very stereotypical, I am a bad guy character.
We have barely seen anything at King's Landing this season, which could potentially have expanded on that
character. Yeah, but I don't think that's...
Which I think is a problem.
I don't think that's a good excuse for him not being a good...
No, I'm not... I'm not saying it's an excuse. I'm saying it's the reason.
Yeah, so that's why
we don't care as much. Or it's something they should have thought about. Because when you think about it, we've had, what, 5 scenes with Cersei this season?
Yeah, but we already know she's an evil fucking bitch from the 7 seasons
prior. It's been 2 years since the last season.
Yeah, I know, but we've got 7 seasons prior to this.
And you're building her up as the bad above the Night King.
Yeah, and I know she is. I'm down. I don't need more Cersei to know she's an evil bitch. You know, I didn't need scenes. I did need Euron to be introduced, I think, earlier in the show, really, is the solution to this problem. They needed to have introduced that character earlier in the show and built him into being what he was. Because he was introduced and then very quickly, just like, betrays, takes over Iron Islands, blah, 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 blah. There was no build up to that, really. And now the couple of seasons pass, and it's just every time I see him, he's just the sleazy fucking dude in the background and all this sort of thing. I'm like, I guarantee next week when he dies, if he dies, I presume he's going to die, they're going to make it out like, yeah, fuck yeah. But it'll be the most least satisfying bad guy death in the show, I think, for myself, period. Because most of the time, the bad guys that we get, quote unquote bad guys, whatever, that are killed in the show are people that when you do finally get seen killed, you as an audience member are like, fuck yeah. Because it's been built up that they're, you know, you really hate them to a point, most of the bad guys in the show. When he dies, I'll just be like, whatever, don't care. Like, just, you're boring. Bye. Goodbye. Bye, Euron.
Well, to be fair, it works the other way as well.
What do you mean?
Well, there were people last week that died that have been around for ages that you didn't really care.
I was sad when Jorah died. I thought
you were sad when Ed died.
Oh, yeah, Ed was a throwaway character.
Yeah, you didn't care when Beric died.
Maybe
neither for seasons.
Yeah, Beric was up and down to me because I'm like, I thought he was a bad guy, but then he wasn't a bad guy. It's all sorts of things.
See? Order.
But you need the bad guy deaths to be more like, I don't know. I just feel like they're trying to be like, yeah, he's going to die next week and he's going to enjoy it. I'm like, yeah, but guess what, HBO? I'm not, because I don't care because he's boring.
Well, there's going to be other deaths for you to enjoy. So
yeah, Cersei's fine. Hopefully. Fucking bitch.
At least he'll die and not be on the show anymore for you to be annoyed by.
Yeah, they should have killed him this episode. They should have had a skirmish. They should have killed him, got him out of the way. You know? They don't need him. My biggest problem is, what is he needed for?
The boats.
They don't need him to lead the fucking boats. Fucking shitty ass, half ass pirate, Euron Greyjoy. Ya ha ha, and fuck off my show. So back at King's Landing as well, he after explaining they killed the dragon, all these sorts of things, Cersei does the whole thing that you were saying in the first episode or whatever, which is that she was like, yeah, and we're having a baby scene that's going to, you know, you'll rule the seas and I'll rule the land. And
it's weird how it's like.
Yeah. It's weird how you stuck your dick in me.
Way further along than it probably should be.
You only poked me last week, but guess what? 3 months. That's how it works. It's like, fucking hell, this show. And
I got magic sperm.
Yeah. Funny enough, another thing too, to quickly jump ahead just because it's more evidence of this little thing, is when Tyrion later walks up to the wall, he's like, and for your children, for your baby and all these sorts of things. But I just like to think Euron in the back's like, but he's too dumb to even realize. But if Euron was smart, he'd be like, how does he know? He shouldn't know because you only just found out you're pregnant. But if he knows, it means you knew before, which means you're a fucking liar. But he's dumb he won't figure it out, or it's just bad writing. Either way, I don't really care. But nonetheless. Sandy's taken, blah, 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 blah. Back at Dragonstone, Danny is having a conversation with everyone, talking about, and she's basically burning with anger at this point, wants to charge into King's Landing and burn the whole fucking place down and basically play into Cersei's plan, really, which is because Cersei's opened up the gates to the main city or whatever, and all the poor folk are kind of walking in and whatever else, and she's basically ready to throw their lives away, doesn't really care. But she wants, if Danny comes, Cersei's plan is that everyone will get her to see, she'll have to go for all them first and these sorts of things, which is what Danny wants to do, and Varys is trying to talk her down, and Varys is rightfully so, like, you, this isn't the queen you want to be, this isn't the queen, this is what we came here to do, don't do this, blah, 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 but Danny is very much like, nah, too bad, like, this is what's going to happen, but I'll give her one chance, we'll go have there, I will let the people see that I gave her an option, and then when, I guess in Danny's mind, she knows how it's going to go, which is that Cersei's going to be like, yeah, nah, get fucked, but then she'll get to burn them all down, and because she says a line about they'll know that their queen didn't try to protect them, or, you know, something along those lines. Like, that's how Danny's playing it out in her mind, something along that. Then we get to the scene where I was talking about before, Tyrion and Varys discussing Danny plus Jon again, with Varys basically saying that he's switched sides officially now and saying, you know, Danny's gone mad. Fuck that shit.
No, well, he just thinks Jon will be a better king.
Yeah, and I definitely feel like Danny being like, I'm going to go there and burn all these people down was kind of the pushing point for him a little bit.
And which, yeah, at that point, you know, you would say that, but if he had been in Winterfell and saw how Jon dumped Ghost,
he wouldn't have gone for it. You're a shit king. You're a shit king. Yeah, this scene was definitely one of the better ones, I feel, of the episode. They're back and forth of this and talking and these sorts of things. But then at the same time, it's utter nonsense because I feel like the show has a bias at this point. I don't know if I'm just feeling it, but I definitely feel like the show is trying to, not really subtly either, go, you should be on Jon's side. Like, look, the tides are turning, you know? And I feel like the show usually doesn't have a biased point of view. It's always just going like, here's Danny, here's all these other people who could potentially be kings and queens and whatever else, you know, throughout the show's history. But I feel like when we get to this scene and a couple other points throughout the episode, it's very much like the show and the way this episode's been written, a little bit biased towards wanting the audience to be Team Jon now, you know?
Yeah, just so they can swerve you.
Potentially, for sure. But yeah, I felt a bit weird, but good conversation. They have backwards and forwards. Varys basically hints at the fact that he's going to try and kill Danny, it seemed, which is...
he's going to do what's best for the realm.
Which Tyrion's like, what the fuck does that even mean? you always say it, but what does that mean? Yeah, which I was like, you're right. What does that mean? It was funny that though, because remember he was originally supposed to poison her back in season one and all that, like that's all these sorts of things. Yeah. And then she was going to kill him and then look where it ended up now. So then back at Winterfell, Sansa is spreading the news of the dragon's death and what's happening. And she's telling Brienne, and Jaime walks in and Jaime gets the news as well. And then later that night, as Brienne is sleeping, Jaime sneaks out, but Brienne catches him as he's trying to leave. And she automatically knows where the fuck he's going, of course. And she starts explaining that, you know, Jaime, you're a good man. You don't need to go. She doesn't serve you, blah, blah, all these things. And then Jaime starts listing off all the evil things he's done. He's like, I pushed that kid out of the tower. I did this. I would have killed all these people for Cersei, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then he ends the conversation by saying, she's hateful and so am I. And he gets on the horse and he leaves Brienne. They're crying. So sad. #sads. #sads.
So sad. Part of me is hoping he just, you know, he did one of those things where he said it because he's not sure if he's coming back and she wants, you know.
I took it as self-punishment.
That too, probably.
is how I was reading into it. You know, like,
he, I don't deserve you. I'm going to say these terrible things so you don't love me anymore.
Or, yeah, I took it as he's happy with her, and he's so happy with her that at first he decides he'll stay there with her and all this, stay in Winterfell and stuff. But then once he hears the news and he's kind of tossing and turning and he can't sleep, and, you know, we see that scene, he's sitting in there at the desk and he's obviously just contemplating everything. And then, but the thing is, we don't really know what his plan or his action is. Is he racing down there to kill her, to kill Cersei to get this shit over with?
Save her.
Yeah. Is he racing there to save her? But then if he's racing there to save her, why would he be like, he's off to kill my sister? No worries. I'll stay here in Winterfell. You know what I mean? Because that was a thing he knew was going to happen.
Well, he didn't make up his mind until then, so.
I guess, but yeah, so, something. We don't really know what he's going to do. Either way, Brienne doesn't deserve him, so too bad.
Great acting.
See you later. It was a great scene.
Break my heart.
Gwendolyn Christie and stuff.
Gwendolyn Christie.
Yeah. I don't mind.
That's like the first time she's like broke. Cried in the sea?
Yeah, first time she's broke. It's like Brienne's always stoic, you know. It's character, and then
we've got the whole range of emotions these last three episodes. Yeah. So it's really happy and smiling, and super
gets a heartbreaking. Typical for a man to take a woman's virginity and then break her heart.
Jeez,
literally every couple nights.
Bit on the nose.
Virgin fucks her, not a virgin. Break your heart. See you later. Typical. Fucking typical.
Fucks her and then fucks her again.
Yes. Literally. Yeah. Literally and not literally. Fucking Jamie. Yeah. It's all right, Brienne. We know you deserve better. You deserve better than Jamie.
Should have gone.
I wanted you and Jamie to be together, but you only got one shot in this bitch, Jamie, and you fucked it. Too bad. See you later. Peace out. So
chose poorly.
For sure. Then makes me wonder, because I'm like, the two episodes left, I'm like, the only way that storyline gets resolved and fixed is if Jamie lives, because he's going to fast travel to King's Landing. Of course he's going to fast travel to King's Landing.
Duh. That looked like a fast horse.
Yeah, very fucking fast. Yeah, can fucking fast travel in these last couple of seasons. So then he's going to get there, and then if he lives the battle, I guess the only way they resolve their storyline is if they have a happy ever after with him coming back and apologizing and all these sorts of things.
Where he comes back and apologizes, and she cuts his head off.
Yeah, imagine. I would like if he dies, but then Brienne's kind of just left shrugging.
Hating.
Like, you know, her story, I don't know. At this point, it's just to stay there with Sansa, I guess, and protect her. But no, anyway.
Yep.
So at King's Landing's gates, or the front of the wall, which I was like, we haven't seen this before, have we? Like, this is a new set or like a place, right?
Or a different part. We probably have. I can't think of any time.
Yeah. Because for the most part.
They haven't had many people come.
Yeah, I guess not.
That way to them.
For the most part, this season has been sets and locations that we know. This is as soon as this cut to this scene, I was like, what do you think? This looks new. Like, this looks fresh somewhat. So you got the two queens facing off one another. Cersei's up on the wall with Missandei, zombie and soldiers and a bunch of whatever the arrow gun things. Yeah. And then Daenerys is down, her dragon's about 10 miles backwards in presumably safe distance, I guess. And then she's surrounded by a couple. I guess they're staying back what they presume is out of arrow distance, like what they presume to be arrow distance.
Yeah.
So then Tyrion moves up, heads towards the wall, and then Qyburn, is it Qyburn?
Qyburn,
thank you. I was about to say, how do you pronounce his name? Qyburn comes out, so the two hands of the queens begin having a bit of conversation, and it's basically like, Danny wants you to surrender, and then he's like, yeah, well, Cersei wants you to surrender, or Missandei dies, and et cetera, et cetera.
Mm. So
pretty much want the same things, but on opposite ends. And then Tyrion gives up trying to talk to Qyburn, and he starts walking towards the wall, which at first they all begin cocking their arrow, bows, whatever. Yeah. And then Cersei puts a hand up at first, but then lowers it, so Tyrion doesn't die. For a hot second, I was like, Tyrion's going to die. Wouldn't that have been cool?
That'd be, yeah.
Would have been shocking. Would have pissed off a lot of people. But for a second there, I was like, Tyrion's going to walk up here. He's going to have this conversation. And then as he goes to leave, she's going to fucking kill him. Because I just felt like Cersei was in such a, like, fucking give zero shits what's going on here. But nonetheless.
But then I thought, you know, at the end of last season, they had that talk. And you're like, maybe there's some secret deal they made
in
that room.
Yeah. What, Cersei, if you would decide to kill me, I'll double the offer for you. Well, I don't know how that works. I'll double the offer you offer yourself to kill me. So then he walks up and he begins talking to Tyrion begins talking to Cersei for a little bit. He's like, I know you're not as evil, as bad as everyone thinks you are because you love your children. You love your children more than you love yourself or Jaime. And I know there's good in you. And, you know, he's trying to play into her good side a bit while also trying to basically saying for the sake of your children and your unborn child, Euron's in the back, like picking his nose, like what? Then
news travels fast.
Yeah. What? Then she seems a little bit upset, visually upset at least. And of course I'm not buying it. I'm buying it, but not buying it. I'm like, she might be upset a little bit because he's talking about all her children and stuff, but I'm like, I'm not buying that she's ever not going to do what she's about to do, which is she walks up to Missandei. And I saw someone on Twitter point out something good here, which is that Missandei should have just fucking quickly put her hand up over Cersei, even though that was chained, just one quick foul move, like whipped up over her neck and then just jumped off. Could have worked. Like killed herself.
Could have worked.
Killed herself, but brought Cersei with her. Well, she's going to die anyway, so could have gone out of pro, I guess. But so then Cersei does ask Missandei, you know, any last words? And although this was a cool moment, I still have, as I said, have thoughts about this whole thing. But then Missandei yells at Dracarys, which of course is burn or burn them or whatever in...
You know, fire.
In fire or whatever it is for the
burn them all down, which again is one of those things where Dany looks like she can hear her, but she's like miles and miles away.
She's like, did you say Dracarys? What was that? I thought Grey Worm and the actor, the whole way they played Grey Worm in this scene was quite good.
Yeah.
Good at least. Like he's struggling between his, of course, emotional side plus his lifelong duty of training of army training or whatever you want to call it, and having to stand there and not chase after and these sorts of things. And then zombie mountain chops off her head. And at least they don't show it horribly graphically. They do it like kind of a bit.
No, they cut away.
They cut away, so.
They cut to a wide shot.
Yeah, they do. You can see the head or what is the head dropping off. And then Tyrion begins walking away and then back to the people. And Dany begins moving backwards and charging through the men, presumably. Yep. at first I thought that she was literally just going to jump on a dragon and go for gold. But then we saw, if you watch the trailer for next week's episode, you know, that's not what happens. Because at least that's not what I think is going to happen. Because John turns up and all this. I know. We'll have to wait and see.
She has to get fired back, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
Her
face at least looks like that's what she's going to do. Yeah.
On the Missandei thing, I think it might have played better if it had been Jorah.
It 100% would have played better if it was
if they had been switched, like Missandei had have like died in the crypt or something, and then Jorah is the one who's captured and beheaded.
Yeah,
it wouldn't be such a feel like a fridging moment.
Yes, the people is it about race still? It would have been okay if it was Jorah, would it? Yes. the other thing is with the whole Grey Worm not dying last episode. That whole thing. It's like, well, that makes sense now because they want to give Grey Worm this emotional thing, I guess, to go through next episode.
Which is interesting for a person who's been trained to not have emotions but has slowly developed them over how many seasons.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I feel like it was a really... I feel like they could have fought... They're trying to give moments for this entire episode to just make Dany into the crazy... Queen, right? That's what this entire episode kind of is. And then at the end, there's that really great shot and of which I'm probably going to use for the thumbnail for this episode, I think. Of well, because it's not like big spoil, like it's the end, it's a literally last shot of the episode, and it's a great shot, I think. And she's doing like her face is real fired up, but at the same time, it's not really spoilery because out of context, it's just a face, but that's a great shot, and it's like that last shot of the episode really does say, hey, you know, crazy red the queen is here. Yeah. Crazy queen is here for sure. This is what
she hasn't got anybody left.
Yeah. Like, but this whole episode, they kill her Jorah last episode, the one of her best friends, half like someone who loved her or whatever. This episode they kill what you could say is her actual best friend, which is Missandei, who's been by her side for nearly, what, since season two?
Two or three.
Like, yeah, at least for quite some fucking time. She's been, yeah, basically her best
probably
friend.
Probably season three.
We at least had that, like, even we've even had scenes between those two characters where they're literally just talking about boys and whatever else that we got.
Yeah, that sort of stuff, yep.
They've built those people up to be friends.
John's not, like, best on best terms.
Yeah, her lover, either. Her legit lover's turning on her.
She thinks
he's turning on
her. Yep, and then Tyrion and Varys are not 100% on board either, so...
Yes. So they get her to, I understand why she would go mad, right? It's obviously, yeah, you lay it all out, but I'm still just like, did you need to kill Missandei as being the one last final straw on the back to kind of get her to be that pissed off? And I would say no, because you could have killed Tormund, fucking a bunch of, maybe Jamie Brown, I don't know, is Jamie around so he can come kill Cersei? Maybe, if at that point you couldn't kill Jamie in the fight, I guess. You could have killed Brienne, you could have killed Podge, you could have killed like a heap of big characters and left Jorah alive, and then, as you're saying, just switch the fucking places here, because why not? You know, solves a lot of problems. A lot of potential problems with this playing out. Yeah, I just feel like it was just too easy, too just like, oh, that's the final stretch. Now she's the big angry queen.
Yeah.
On the whole, like, and this episode really pushing towards the John factor thing, I'm not down for that either. I'm 100% not down for John being the king, and I'm not really down for this show pushing that being the storyline. It's so heavily as well, because I'm just like, how are we gonna spend fucking 7 seasons building up this woman as the queen, and in the last second the show's like, literally the show literally has a line where it's like, yeah, but Cox about her, and it's like, yeah, they are. I'm like, are we literally just out loud just,
I mean, to be fair, there have been moments where she's been a bit, you know, a bit crazy or a bit like violent tendencies, you know, want to burn everybody down and that sort of shit. So, it's not like it's come out of nowhere.
Yeah, but is John gonna... John would be no better.
Again, John doesn't want the throne, which probably opens up the theory of... your theory of there not being a throne at the end of the season.
I legit think that's kind of how it's going to go now. Because they have a line in this episode where it's Tyrion and Varys are speaking in that last segment or whatever thing. And he says about, you know, well, how about it's better because it's better to have someone on the phone who doesn't want to be there, or some variation of that line. And now they're using that line and they're talking about John at the time, but then I'm like, what if it's a red herring? You know, like they're saying it in respect to John at the time, but then if it's maybe it's a red herring to say that's where the show's going to go nonetheless. Not to John, but to someone who doesn't actually want the throne is going to end up on the throne anyway. You know, could be a red herring there. Also, if... moving into what we think is going to happen next week, because next week is basically potentially going to be, if we're following normal Game of Thrones terms, which is always that the second last episode of the season is the most epic, biggest, shocking episode of the entire season. Next week will be the biggest, shocking, most episode of the entire season. Now, of course, the last episode is probably going to have a lot of stuff happening in it as well, because it is the final season, but maybe following in normal Game of Thrones tradition, next week is still going to be the biggest. So we'll have to see. So following that, let's get into what we think is going to happen. Putting on the table right now, Jon Snow dies next episode.
Nah.
If I could change my predictions, I would. And I'd say that Jon dies. Now, the reason I reckon Jon dies is because I spend a good 5 minutes this episode having to say goodbye to a bunch of people.
That's true.
They have a very, to me, it was very heavy-handed of John saying goodbye to people and emotional moments. And, you know, he gets to say goodbye to Tormund, who's been he gets to say goodbye to both of his two best BFF male friends he's had throughout the show, which is Tormund and Sam. Not his direwolf. Yeah, but still. I'm like, that whole scene to me, as soon as that scene was over, I go, John's dying next week.
Yeah. That is a very good point. It is a bit bit of foreshadowing.
Seemed very foreshadowing to me, is what I think for that.
No.
Yeah. So what do you think is happening this week?
I think we're going to collect Gainball.
Oh, that's, come on. That's, I reckon that's definitely
happening. And I don't think the High Hound's going to do it alone.
No, I think, you know. I think they foreshadowed that a little bit too by sticking Arya next to
No, I think it's going to be a three-way team up, you know.
Oh, who's the third?
Going to want to get in there as well, yeah.
You reckon?
Yeah. He's going to put a freaking spear through his leg. It's going to be great.
Okay, yeah, because I was thinking after this episode, I'm like, Clegane Bowl's still on, but Arya's going to come in and help him out.
He's a freaking zombie. It's you can't win in a one-on-one fight.
Yeah. So I think that's going to happen. And I'd say that they're just kind of going to waltz into the city somewhat while stuff's going down, and they're going to just start their own little fight off on the side, I guess, somewhat, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah. And then Euron's going to die.
Mm-hmm. Who kills him?
But
Grey Worm.
I think Cersei.
Cersei kills him.
Like, he comes in like super hurt or whatever, and like Cersei's like going to... tells him, she asks for help, and he's like, I'm the father of your child or whatever, and then, you know, stab. Yeah. Not the
maybe. I'd like to just see him go out by a random, just shitty way. Not even a big character, just get rid of him.
Pod.
Yeah, Pod was champ this episode. I'll say something else for a random thing I saw on Twitter after the episode was out, which I thought was an interesting theory to chuck out, was... someone's like, Dario's going to be on the ships from the Golden Company, and he's going to turn everyone.
He wasn't on the Golden Company, was he?
Yeah, but he could be.
No, he was like taking care of some city on the other side of the world.
But he could be. There's fast travel this season, Ash, and last season. I don't know if you're aware.
I mean, he could get all, he could bring all the sellswords to fight, come fight for Dany, I guess.
Yeah, it's possible. So how do we think the fight's going to go down? Do you reckon it's just going to be the armies that they have now? Or are we going to... because they hint at something I was talking about a couple episodes ago, which was, remember what I was saying, like, end of episode two, I was like, you know, the fight will land, and then word will spread, and then Danny will get a bunch more people to join him up. And they kind of hinted that this episode, they briefly say, you know, well, more people will join us now that know what's happening. They're like, yeah, no, they're not going to, though. But do you reckon there's a chance that we get some fucking... scene where, you know, over the hills a bunch of people come and start joining the fight on Danny's side?
Maybe, but I don't know how effective that would be. Like, you'd be more like, who the fuck are they?
Yeah, maybe. Probably. Unless they're just a bunch of people, and it's like, remember this person? I'm like, yeah, you're from like season 3, aren't you? I kind of remember that face, but not really. Yeah, I know.
It's the guy, it's Arya's friends.
Yeah, Arya's
the teacher at the start. And then the man with no face, no name, brings all these people over.
That is Dario.
No, I'm thinking, I must be thinking of two different people. Yeah, I'm thinking of the guy that Danny was with.
Yeah, I don't remember his name. Don't remember his name at all. But I think
it's too many people.
Yeah, it's too many people. So I reckon, nonetheless, I guess we're going to have somewhat similar to last week's episode for the fight, which is maybe 10 minutes or 15 minutes of setup.
One other thing.
Yeah.
It's going to be super well lit, and no one's going to complain about it.
Yeah, it's going to be in the daytime. We do know that, I presume. It looks like it's going to be take place in daylight. Which it would be weird to have both fight scenes take place in the dark. It'd be like, fucking come on. They already got rid of one dragon. There's your CGI a little bit saved, but they need the CGI for the city being blown the fuck up next episode, I reckon. But so I reckon you get like 10 minutes of...
Oh, that reminds me.
Everyone teaming up.
The goof that we talked about earlier, there was a freaking coffee cup in the middle
I forgot, I was going to mention that.
The banquet.
There's a Starbucks cup.
You didn't have enough money in your CGI budget to like edit that out?
What? I think the most shocking thing is how many people watched the episode and did not notice that, or they did notice it and went, no one will notice that. Because either way, it's kind of shocking because someone will notice that. Do you know what people are like on the internet? Come on now. They would have noticed that if it was hidden, tiny as fuck in the back corner. Like, someone would have spotted that. And B, if someone did spot it and was like, nah, she'll be right, or we can't fix that, or something. I'm like,
really? You couldn't like put a shitty CGI tankard in front of it?
It's also someone's fucking job to keep track of these sorts of things. So someone's going to be in trouble. Who was in charge of that?
Well, they can't fire him, so.
The shooting.
Yeah, no. Script supervisor or the continuity person. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, they can't fire them, so.
No, not now. It's over. They definitely won't be on any of the prequel series, though. That's what I reckon. Yeah, so I reckon the first 10 minutes we're going to have everyone kind of meet up and do a little bit of a planning and all these sorts of things. Then I reckon Danny, kind of building off what we've seen this episode, just is like, nah, fuck this shit. You know what I'm doing? I'm jumping on my dragon. I'm going to burn the city down. They charge in. She starts burning up the city. Dragon dies.
Do you think Drogon lives?
Nah, he dies.
Yeah, I'm definitely getting that impression.
I reckon he does. I reckon he'll do enough damage that by the time he's dead, it's at least like he doesn't. I don't see him dying on the charge in kind of thing. I definitely see them because they tease he's in gonna, the trailer them looking up and then he's coming. It appears he's just going to come out of fucking nowhere or something like that. So she's going to be a bit more strategic about leading the dragon
she's
in.
He's going to come in from the clouds.
Yeah, that's so high. Of thing. So and
just rain down fire.
I reckon we'll be like that shot from the train heist thing last season, I guess. Maybe it comes out of the clouds and then she just sweeps along and takes out all of the things on the wall.
Yeah.
The arrow things the or whatever, spear things. Takes out all those and then she starts just fucking destroying the city a bit, I guess. And then they win, obviously. I don't know who will die and all these sorts of things, like on the good side for it, but I'd say for sure they're going to win. And then the big setup in the last episode is obviously going to be Danny just burnt like half the fucking city down doing this, killed a lot of civilians, Mad Queen type. And then the last episode is going to be a little bit about, of course, dealing with that and who actually ends up on the throne. That's where I'm at now. That's how I reckon it plays out. Yeah. And you got any lasting wrapping up thoughts?
No, not really.
All right. Very good.
Do you think it all takes place in King's Landing, like the Winterfell battle?
Well, I reckon we open at Dragonstone. They're having a chat there.
Yeah. But it's all taking place in the south or middle, whatever.
I reckon
that region.
I'd say maybe we cut to a scene of what's the fuck over on the Iron Islands, which then leads into potentially her rocking up,
coming in
and being like, hey everyone, we're here with our ships.
I don't know how, because the Iron Islands are on the other side of the
fast travel. You don't need to think about these things anymore. It's not logistically nothing needs to make sense. But we got to remember, we saw her, we haven't seen her for a couple episodes.
Yeah.
I presume that she'll just show up and be like, hey, we're here, where are we going? And then they can charge in on their boats around the back way and have a bit of a boat skirmish of sorts, I guess. So we're gonna have a dragon, we're gonna have a land fight, we're gonna have
boats
fight happening, we're gonna have Clegane Bowl.
Yep.
Should be a lot going on.
Do you think it ends?
What do you mean? The fire.
Or does it end on a cliffhanger?
I reckon it ends on the cliffhanger, which is who the fuck is king or queen? Is the cliffhanger, you know, like that's it, right? That's the biggest cliffhanger is just into the final episode is just going to be who's on the throne. I feel. I don't want to go into the last episode with fighting still happening. I want the last episode to be primarily about wrapping up storylines, deciding who's the king queen, and then once that's decided, then I want to get some idea of how they're going to run things and like who's their hand, who's their team of advice. You know, like I want all this information. I don't want the show to just end with they decide in the last 5 minutes, the person sits down on the throne, camera starts panning out. No, I want to know I want a rough idea of, so in my head I can fanfic, you know, like the following day, like what happens for next year kind of thing. Like I want a rough idea of how Winterfell's going to play out, like what's Sansa doing over there, what's Iron Islands doing over here. There's lots of stuff to cover in that last episode if next week's episode is going to be lots of fighting. I just feel like there's heaps of storylines to go over. And if you leave this episode on a cliffhanger of still some level of fighting to be done, then you're just going to be wasting time. I know it's an hour 20 for that final episode or whatever, but there's still just lots of character beats and things to be done and be gone over, and you want to cover them all. So yeah, I think that's it.
Yep.
All right. Thanks for you for joining us on this week's episode of South of King's Landing. You can, of course, watch the video version for this show and see our lovely faces at youtube.com/explosionnetwork, where you should subscribe, like the video, and ring the bell so you don't miss our next episode. Or if you'd rather just listen to the show, it is available on all podcasting services, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or whatever other podcasting service you'd like to use. Just search for South of King's Landing. You can follow me on Twitter at VivaLadil, VivaLadil. You can follow Ash on Twitter at Ashley Hobby, AshleyHobbeLey. And you can follow the Explosion Network on Twitter at Explosion Pod, of which this is a production of. Until next week, remember, the North remembers. I still think that line's viable.
That works. Yeah,
I'm running into the end North of the show.
Also remembers to pat their direwolves.
Hopefully. All right, bye. Catch up on the latest TV, online media, and movie news, from the biggest comic book films to the biggest YouTube crazes to our local cinema scene, and then hear what we've been watching before asking the age-old question, what do you want to watch? Available on all podcast services every second Friday. Just search your podcast app for What Do You Want to Watch and subscribe for free now.